our mobile society presents problems and challenges with regard to the performance of many mitzvahs, particularly the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, of lighting the Chanukah menorah. People live in one place, they work in another. People travel during the Chanukah period. The question is, what kind of a mitzvah is the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Is it a mitzvah like tefillin, which is a mitzvah on the gavra, it's a mitzvah that the person has to perform? Or is it a mitzvah like mezuzah, which requires a house? For the next few minutes, I'd like to discuss the majority opinion, although there are many opinions amongst the poskim, but the majority opinion, halachically, of what the mitzvah of hadlokas neiros is. And in fact, it will come out that the mitzvah of hadlokas neiros is principally a mitzvah that requires a home. What are the indications that the mitzvah of hadlokas neiros is a mitzvah that necessitates a house? Well, firstly, the Gemara in Shabbos, the Braisa of Chanukah, talks about the essential basic mitzvah of ner ish ubeso, which the Rivash understands to mean that the mitzvah is to light at home. What further indications are there? The Rambam himself tells us clearly that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah has to be set up on the left side of the door so that the mezuzah is on the right, the mezuzah is on the left, and a person is surrounded by mitzvahs. More to the point, the Rambam makes a very dramatic statement with reference to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. The Rambam says, mitzvosa sheyehe kol bayis ubayis madlik Ner Chanukah. This is a very unusual repetition that the Rambam is not generally given to make. Clearly, the Rambam is talking about the necessity of having a house in order to light the menorah. Further indication, and in fact this is the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva in Chelek Dalet, Simen Yud Dalet, where he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos again, where the Gemara discusses the second bracha of hadlokas neiros, birchas haroeh. And the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah that if someone sees a ner Chanukah, he's obligated to make the bracha she'asa nisim. Rashi commenting on this Gemara, when is a person obligated to make this bracha when he's not lighting the menorah? So Rashi says a person who doesn't have a home, he's not at home to light, or he's yoshev basfina, he's on a ship. So Rav Moshe asks in the tshuva, why doesn't Rashi simply say that he didn't have ner, he didn't have a fire, he didn't have candles, he didn't have oil? Why does Rashi say that he was on a ship and therefore he can't light? And further, on a ship, an open ship, certainly in the time of Chazal and the time of Rashi, everybody had candles. How else did they see on the ship at night? So clearly they had candles. They had oil. But yet, because a person did not have a house, Rav Moshe concludes, one was not allowed to light Ner Chanukah, because the basic fundamental necessity for the mitzvah is the presence of a home, of a house. And without that, Yoshev Besfina can only make the bracha of Haroah She'asa Nisim. Further indication that the mitzvah is only with a house is a Tosfos in Masechet Sukkah Daf Mem Vav. There Tosfos asks an interesting question. Why is the bracha of Haroeh She'asa Nisim only recited on Ner Chanukah? Why don't we make the bracha, say, on Mitzvahs Lulav, when someone sees a Lulav and an Esrog? So Tosfos offers two answers. One answer he gives is that the Chavivus Hanes, the Chavivus Haner, the endearment with which the Jewish people feel towards the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. It's a special mitzvah. It always has held a special place in the heart of the Jew and creates the desire and the necessity to recite a special bracha. The second approach of Tosfos is that there are kama b'nei Adam, there are many people that do not have a house, they do not have homes. And therefore, their only fulfillment of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah would be to recite the bracha Birchas Haroeh, the bracha of She'asa Nisim. So, question is, why do they need a house? I mean, perhaps they had candles. In fact, the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings this as a halacha as well, that a person should even sell the clothing on his back in order to acquire shemen to acquire oil, to acquire candles and a menorah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? The answer is that even if somebody does have these commodities, if he doesn't have a home, he cannot, in fact, fulfill the mitzvah. Further indication that one requires a home environment is a tshuva of the Marsham. Rav Shalom Shadran, the Marsham in Simen Kuf Mem Vav, talks about someone who is traveling on a train. And he explains that someone who travels on a train, certainly in the time of the Marsham, when one bought a ticket, one paid for the right to eat on the train, to sleep on the train, and this was a kind of makom dira. It was a dwelling place. It was a home environment. And therefore the Marsham paskins that a Jew who is traveling on such in such a vehicle is obligated to light the menorah because it has a din of a house. This, of course, would not apply to a car, which doesn't have the same conveniences as a train. So we've explained that the necessity, basic necessity of Mitzvah Ner Chanukah to fulfill the mitzvah of lighting the candles is to have a house. But more than that, it has to be your house. What are the indications that it has to be your house? Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simen Taf Resh Ayin Aleph that one does not fulfill the mitzvah of lighting the menorah of Ner Chanukah in Shul. The halacha is that we do light a menorah in Shul, but this is for Pirsumei Nisa, to publicize the miracle. But clearly, Shulchan Aruch says that one has to go home and light at home in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Why are we not fulfilling the mitzvah in Shul? Because it has to be your house, even if the Shul is a house. In fact, the Achronim discuss, the Boruch Tam and the Binyan Shlomo and Etshuva discuss who is in fact Yotze, who does in fact fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neris in a Shul. Let's say Achsanoi, a guest, a visitor who is sleeping in Shul, if there are rooms set aside in the Shul for visitors, which was the case in many communities. So in fact, this house of the Shul had a din of their house. But a Shul doesn't have a din of house for us. It has to be our house, even though it's somewhat of a house. And it would make things easier if a person is traveling and he's in another community, he's on his way from one town to the other, and he goes into a shul to daven and they light the menorah. He doesn't have to rush home. He could fulfill the mitzvah of lighting the candles in shul. But the fact of the matter is, not only does it have to be a house, it has to be your house. Not only does it have to be your house, but it has to be your main house. The Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch paskins and Simen Taf Resh Ayin Zayin, that if someone has two homes, a house where he sleeps and a house where he eats, so the Mechaber paskins that a person should light the menorah in the house where he sleeps. Why? Because of chashad, because of suspicion. If people don't see the menorah lit by his door, they'll suspect that he doesn't light the menorah. The Ramah says that since today we do not in fact light the menorah outside, we light it inside, then one should light the menorah, if he has two homes, in the place where he eats, which is normally the preferred, superior domicile, the plamokam achila, rather than the place of sleeping, but the place of eating. So if we should light in both places, why shouldn't we light in both places? The place where a person sleeps, the place where a person eats. The answer is that it not only has to be a house, it not only has to be your house, but it has to be your main essential house. Question is, where in the house should you light? So the Shevet Levi in Chelek Gimel, Simen Pei Gimel, discusses a case of yeshiva students who eat, the dining room, the dormitory, everything is in one building. So there the Shevet Levi says that if everything takes place in one building, so there is no such thing as priority of one place over another, the place of eating versus the place of sleeping. Actually, any place in the house you can light the Chanukah menorah. But in fact, a person should take a place which is has more kavod to it. In fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that yeshiva boys who have a dormitory is a separate building, and a dining room is a separate building. Normally, we say the place of eating is the preferred venue. But if there are other mitigating circumstances, Rav Moshe points out, for example, that the dining room is a public place, but the dormitory is more private. So really, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that the boys, students in yeshiva, should light in the dormitory and appoint different people to come in. The boys should take turns to protect, of course, the inherent danger. But clearly, in that case, the place of sleeping would be the preferred domicile where they do most of their dwelling. Rav Moshe also points out that the essential pirsume nisa, publicity of the miracle, is on the bnei bayis. It's not the people outside, but it's the people in the house. So therefore, really, anywhere in the house, the menorah should be lit. One should place, perhaps the makom achila should be the dining room where people eat on Shabbos, which has more of a kavod, a sense of kavod attached to it. What defines your house? What makes it your house? If a person is, let's say, invited out Hanukkah for a meal in the evening to eat by friends or by family, is one meal considered your house? Can one fulfill the hadlokas neiros by lighting the candles where he is eating supper? So this, in fact, is a machlokas haposkim. The Bach, it would seem from the Bach that one would consider this your house, because he says that a person should go home to light, not because it's not considered your house, but because of suspicion. Because if you don't light at home, then people will think you're not lighting. But he makes no mention of the fact that eating only one meal is very temporary and doesn't make it your house. This is not the opinion of the Taz. The Taz very emphatically states that one meal in a residence does not make it your house. In fact, he says very strongly that if someone lights the menorah in a house where he's only eating one meal, it's kimadlik birachov. It's as if he's lighting the menorah in the street. So certainly we want to do the mitzvah, when we perform the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, we would like to do it according to all opinions. Certainly one should endeavor to go according to the Taz. So what should one do? There are a number of options. The Mechaber in the Shulchan Aruch brings two opinions, that one could light the menorah after Plaga Mincha. So if someone is traveling from one town to the other, or from one borough to the other in a different city, and he's going to be spending the evening in someone's house, so if it's after Plaga Mincha, the Mishneh Berurah even, in fact, paskins, according to the Chidah, that one may recite the brachas and fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah after Plaga Mincha. And the Mishneh Berurah supports this in the Sha'ar Tzi, and he mentions this is based on a comment on a psak of the Chidah. However, the later Achronim point out that the Chidah later published a sefer entitled Kisei Rachamim, in which the Chidah was chozer on that opinion. He clearly said that one should not light the menorah after Plaga Mincha. Those Achronim suggest that perhaps the Mishneh Berurah never saw this Chidah, and if he did, he perhaps would not have paskened this way. Another option would be to light the menorah later in the night when you return home. Third option, which is suggested by the Shevet Levi in Chelek Dal at Simen Samech Vav, is to appoint a representative, a shaliach, to light the menorah for you at home. Although it is always preferred, mitzvah bo yoser mibshlucho, that it's preferred that you perform the mitzvah rather than a shaliach, rather than a representative, but in this case, one fulfills the mitzvah at the proper time in a proper manner. So to summarize, lighting the menorah, one cannot fulfill the mitzvah in a shul. One requires a house. One further requires his own house. And one requires to light it in one's main house. And a public, certainly a lighting it in shul would not fulfill the mitzvah. And lighting it in a public, civic display of the menorah would not fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros. It certainly would add to the Pirsumei Nisa of publicizing the great and glorious miracle of Chanukah, but it would not be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. In addition, if somebody would be spending a Shabbos, a weekend, or even a Shabbos with family or friends, that would be considered their bayis, their home, even though one meal, according to the Taz, would not sufficiently satisfy that requirement. But the question we have to address is why, in fact, is the emphasis of the miracle of Chanukah and the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in the house, in the home, and not, in fact, in shul? We celebrate two miracles that took place at Chanukah time. One is the miracle of the victory, the battle over the Greeks, and the second was the miracle of the oil miraculously lasting for 8 days. So both of these miracles took place in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple. Our shul is the Mikdash Ma'at. So why, in fact, is the institution of the mitzvah not in the shul, not in the Beis Medrash, but yet it, in fact, is in the home? What's the reason for that? So in order to answer that, I'd like to focus on the underpinning battle that was taking place and the tension that was taking place between Greek civilization and the Jewish people at the time of Hanukkah. The Greeks were threatening the destruction and the annihilation, not just of the physical Jewish people, but the spirituality of the Jewish people via Torah Shebaal Peh, the Oral Torah. That's what the battle was about, to secure the sanctity of the oral tradition, of our Mesorah, which is passed down from Rebbe to Talmud, from parent to child. Let me explain by quoting a majestic interpretation of a Gemara in Baba Basra offered by Rav Yitzchak Huttner Zatzal. The Gemara in Baba Basra speaks about Rav Yeshua ben Gamliel and praises Rav Yeshua ben Gamliel for his institution of an educational system of yeshivas and schools, where at a time when many parents were not equipped to teach their children at home, Rav Yeshua ben Gamliel established schools. So the children were sent away into each community. He set up a base medrash for children to learn Torah with a Rebbe. Anthropologists and sociologists point to this Talmudic passage as an example of the genius of the Jewish people. That the Jewish people established a sophisticated educational system well before any other society and civilization in Western civilization established an educational system. Rav Huttner comments that these people have missed the entire point of the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Of course it was a great step and an advancement for mankind to set up an educational system, that which Rav Yeshua ben Gamliel accomplished. But the greatness of the Jewish people was recognizing that this was a bidyevid. This was a necessary step. But the real genius of the Jewish people was that until Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamliel, this was not necessary. The greatness of the Jewish people is not the Beis Harav, is not the school system. It's the home environment, where the Torah is taught and learnt between father and son, between mother and daughter, where the transmission of Torah takes place in the sanctity of the Jewish home. That's the greatness of the Jewish people. The fact that we had to set up a school system was a bidyevid, was an after the fact, was a necessity because the home was not equipped for this. The Rambam points out in his Maimer al Kiddush Hashem, his epistle on Kiddush Hashem, that one of the terrible things that the Greeks did during the time of Hanukkah was that they forced the Jewish people to have their doors facing each other. They forced the Jewish people not to have privacy. They attempted to make the Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim. They attempted to take away the sanctity and the privacy of the Jewish home. The Greeks understood in their desire to destroy Torah Shebaal Peh, the transmission of Jewish tradition, the oral tradition, Jewish education from parents to children, they would have to destroy the Jewish home. They understood that it was the sanctity of the Jewish home, which was the laboratory for the transmission of the Mesorah of the Jewish people. The victory of the Battle of Hanukkah was the preservation of our oral tradition, of our Torah Shebaal Peh, of the ability of one generation to transmit the Torah through the glorious mitzvah of Talmud Torah to the next generation. And the laboratory for this mitzvah is the home, not the shul, not the school, not the base medrash, but in an idyllic society, it is the sanctity of the Jewish home where we celebrate the victory of Hanukkah. And this, in fact, is the last frontier, the last miracle the Jewish people, the last revealed miracle the Jewish people experienced was the mitzvah of Hanukkah. The last frontier of the Jewish people is to restore the sanctity of the Jewish home, to restore the environment, the learning environment between father and son, as Rashi points out in the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gave to Yosef, Even Yisrael, Av Uben. The sanctity of the Jewish people is transmitted from father to son. And as the Vilna Gaon points out, the gematria of Besula is Aim Bas, transmitting the transition from mother to daughter. May the muted footsteps of Mashiach Tzidkenu become increasingly audible by our rededication and our reapplication to the great principles of the victory of the Battle of Hanukkah, to study Torah with our children and to create a home environment that bespeaks the miraculous victory of Hanukkah. Hanukkah Sameach.